Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Hazayin, Chapter 27. In the last perek, Yirmiyahu was almost killed by a mob who heard his nevuah about the Beit HaMikdash and decided that it was more prudent to kill him and get into Yehoiakim's good graces than it was to listen to him and change their ways. Whereas that was a religious message that Yirmiyahu was almost killed for, his message in Perek of Zion, chapter 27, is political. But we already know from reading other chapters in Yirmiyahu that all of his political messages are actually religious, because what Yirmiyahu is trying to get the people and the kings to do is to see the world through God-colored glasses, and to see that the geopolitical shifts in the area are not random and haphazard, but are actually the hands of Hashem. The first two psukim in this perek take place in the beginning of Yehoiakim's reign, when Yirmiyahu receives his nevuah, which is the same time period as the last perek, but it's going to be actualized in a different era, in the time of Tzidkiyahu. The nevuah that Yirmiyahu gets in the beginning of Yehoiakim's reign is as follows. V'yomar Hashem Elai, Aseh lecha moserot umotot, Unetatam al tzavarecha. Yirmiyahu is told to do another symbolic action. This time, he's told to take a yoke, the bar that you put on the neck of an oxen to pull the plow. He's supposed to take that yoke and the chains and straps that come with it and put it on his own neck. This is going to symbolize that what Yirmiyahu wants the people of Bnei Israel and their king to do is to put their neck under the yoke of Babylonia, to submit to the Babylonian occupation. After the first two psukim, we see that Yirmiyahu tells this nevuah only later, in the time of Tzidkiyahu. Yirmiyahu is told that in the time of Tzidkiyahu, he should not only put on the yoke himself, but he should send it to Tzidkiyahu and five other kings in the area, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tsur, and Sidon. These kings are coming to have a meeting with Tzidkiyahu in Yerushalayim to discuss a possible rebellion against Babylonia. Let's just back up for a second and review some history. Nebuchadnezzar invaded Yerushalayim, invaded Judea in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. Yehoiakim eventually rebelled against Babylonia and he lost, was killed. Then his son Yehoiachin continued the rebellion. He was exiled along with Galut HaCharash VaHamasker. All of the soldiers, the administration, the artisans were exiled to Babylonia. And now Tzidkiyahu was anointed by the Babylonians to be a passive king and to not rebel. The Babylonians are not going to be very happy with this meeting that Tzidkiyahu is having with the five kings in the area, thinking that they could possibly take down the fledgling empire. Yirmiyahu has been telling them since the fourth year of Yehoiakim that what their tshuva is now is to submit to Babylonia, accept their occupation, and realize that this is a punishment from Hashem for what they've done. If they don't accept it, if they do rebel, the punishment will keep getting worse until finally there'll be nothing left and they'll have to acknowledge that it was from Hashem when they have nothing left to their city, and they're completely destroyed. The first stage where this actualizing came to be was when Yehoiakim was taken, but he was only taken by himself. The second stage was Galut HaCharash VaMasker, many, many more people taken into exile, all the leadership. Now, Tzidkiyahu is thinking about forming his own rebellion with these five neighboring kings. Along with the yokes that Yirmiyahu sends to Tzidkiyahu and the other kings, he also sends a message in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. This is what he says, V'tzivita otam el adoneihem, take these yokes to your masters, and you should say, Lemor, Ko amar Hashem tzvokot Elokei Israel, so says Hashem, the God of Israel, Ko tomrun el adoneihem, this is what adoneihem, this is what you should say to the kings as you present them with this yoke. Anochi asiti et haaretz, ve'et ha'adam, ve'et ha'beima, asher al pnei ha'aretz. I, Hashem, have made the earth. I made people. I made all the animals. I made everything. B'kochi hagadol u'bizro'i hanituya. I made it with my great strength and my outstretched arm, and I will give it to whoever finds favor in my eyes. He continues in Pasuchet, V'haya hagoy v'hamlamlacha, asher lo yavdu oto et Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, v'et asher lo yitain et savaro ba'ol melech Bavel, b'cherev u'b'ra'av u'b'dever, efkod al hagoy ahu ne'um Hashem ad tumi otam biyado. If you decide to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, the one that I have sent to take over your land, if you stand up to him, I, Hashem, with my great strength, will go after you with sword, with famine, with pestilence, until you are completely destroyed. If you don't put your head in this yoke, if you don't put this yoke on your neck. But in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hagoy asher yavi et savaro, ba'ol melech Bavel, va'avdo. Any nation, says Yirmiyahu in verse 11, who does what I tell you to do and puts his neck under the yoke of Babylonia and submits, then v'hinachtiv al admato ne'um Hashem, I will let him stay on his land, va'avda v'yashavba, you will just serve the Babylonians, but you can stay in your land. And remember, Yirmiyahu had already told Jehoiakim that it was only going to be 70 years. So what he's telling them is, if you accept the occupation of Babylonia, you accept that Babylonia is a messenger of Hashem, then you will be saved. The political advice that Yirmiyahu is giving is vitally important. Yirmiyahu is a Navi, after all. He's a prophet. He knows the future. He knows how things will turn out. We today live in a world that's very blurry. We see world events play out, and we genuinely do not know how to react. Is this a good time to go to war? Should we bomb this country? Should we wait while this country, a neighbor, is developing bombs that they can use against us? We don't know. We don't know how things are going to play out, and therefore it's very hard to know how to react. We try our best with intelligence. We try to make good decisions. But here, you have somebody who is telling you directly from God, not only how to interpret world events, if Babylonians are messengers from God, but how to react to them. Don't rebel against Babylonia. The message to Tzidkiyahu is the same. Do you want to live? Do you want to be able to have the Jewish people stay in Israel? Then do not fight the Babylonians. Recognize that they are messengers of Hashem and accept their rulership. It is the only way to save yourselves. Yirmiyahu follows his political prophecy to Tzidkiyahu with a warning about not listening to the false prophets. Says Yirmiyahu to Tzidkiyahu specifically in Pasuk Yedalid, verse 14, Al tishmu'u al divrei hanaviyim ha'omrim aleichem lemor lo tavdu et melech Bavel, ki sheker heim neviyim lechem. Don't listen to those prophets that say you don't have to serve the king of Bavel. They're lying to you. So it seems that the false prophets also had political advice. They were saying, don't worry, you don't have to serve the king of Bavel. Now the plot thickens. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, Yirmiyahu continues in verse 16, Vel kohanim vel kol ha'am hazeh dibarti lemor, kol amar Hashem, al tishmu'u el divrei nevi'eichem, hanib'im lechem lemor, hine klei beit Hashem mushavim mi'bavela, atam mehera, ki shekerheim nevi'im lechem. To the kohanim, to the priests, and all the nations, says Yirmiyahu, don't listen to those false prophets. And this is what the false prophets were saying. The vessels of the Beit HaMikdash will be brought back from Bavel very, very quickly. Says Yirmiyahu, they are lying to you. Okay, let's figure out what the false prophet's strategy was and why Yirmiyahu so vehemently says to Tzidkiyahu and all the people not to listen to them. We know that the false prophets had been saying this whole time, nothing will ever happen to the Beit HaMikdash. It's impenetrable, and therefore it will save you. Their world was rocked during the time of Galut Yehoyachin, Galut HaCharash VaMasker. The Babylonians waltzed in and took thousands of vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. People started to suspect that maybe the false prophets had been lying to them. And maybe Yirmiyahu has been right this whole time. So the false prophets quickly had to figure out how to spin it so that it didn't totally invalidate their earlier claims, because if they were proven to have been lying, then they would be tried as false prophets. So what they say is that yes, Babylonia came, and yes, they did take the king and many people and the vessels into exile, but it's not going to last. It's a blip on the screen. Babylonia is going to fall, and those vessels will be brought back. So it doesn't really count that they took it. It doesn't really count that Babylonia came and exiled a lot of people already during Galut Jehoiachin, because if the exile only lasts for a year or two, it's not really called an exile. Those people are coming back, the Kelim are coming back, the vessels. And the reason that they speak so much about the vessels, because that was very central to their prophecy that the Beit HaMikdash will protect you. So they had to really focus on the fact that the Beit HaMikdash is still impenetrable, just as we said. And yes, they were able to take some vessels, but we know the vessels are coming back. Says Yirmiyahu, it's not true. Don't listen to them, because if you do, it will bolster your rebellion. They're basically telling you that Babylonia is about to fall. So Tzidkiyahu, listening to this advice, says, this is a great time for me to rebel. I'll be successful. Yirmiyahu is saying, no, they're false prophets. And then he says, instead of wasting everyone's time with lies, in Pasuk Yerchet, verse 18, Im Nevi Imheim, Im Yesh Davar Itam, if they're real prophets and they actually speak with Hashem and they're very spiritual people, Yifkeuna. Hashem Svakot, let them daven to Hashem and beg Him. Levilti ba'u hakelim hanotarim beit Hashem ubeit haMelech Yuda ubYerushalayim bavela. Let them daven to Hashem that the rest of the vessels in the Beit HaMikdash and the king's palace not be taken. Let them daven that the exile doesn't get worse, because you know what? That is what's going to happen if you continue to listen to the false prophets and try to rebel against Babylonia. So the message that here of this parak is to Tzidkiyahu, it is a political message with a lot of religious overtones. Tzidkiyahu, you're meeting now with five other kings, and I know that you want to rebel against Babylonia, and this rebellion is supported by the false prophets. Don't do it. The only way to survive is to see the situation unfolding the way I, Yirmiyahu, am telling you that it's unfolding, and that is to see it as Yad Hashem, the hands of Hashem, and to accept it as your punishment and submit. Put your head in the yoke and live, says Yirmiyahu to Tzidkiyahu and to all the nations. I want to just go back for a minute to an earlier point. The message that Yirmiyahu sends along with the yokes is in verse 5, is as follows. Something, a pasuk that we've read already. Anochi asiti et haaretz ve'et haadam ve'et habeima asher al pnei haaretz bekochi hagadol ubizroi hanetuya unetati lasher yashar ve'enai. I made the earth, the people, animals with my great strength and my outstretched hand, and I give it to whoever finds favor in my eyes. Notice the language of Yetziat Mitzrayim. In this pasuk of the redemption from Egypt, we know that Hashem took us out of Egypt with a zroa netuya, with an outstretched hand. Here, Yirmiyahu is using the language in an inverted way. Hashem made the world with His strong hand, and He'll give it to whoever He wants to. Right now, He's telling them, I've given the land to Babylonia, not to you. You can stay in it if you submit. But Babylonia is here because I want them to be here. Now, the second last phrase in this pasuk is a very interesting phrase. It says, Unetatiha la'asher yashar be'enai, I will give it to whoever finds favor in my eyes. The first Rashi on Sefer Bereishit, the first Rashi in the Torah, asks the question, why does the Torah have to start with Bereishit, with the creation of the world? Why couldn't it have started with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh, the first mitzvah? Rashi answers, the reason is, Mishum koch ma'asav higid la'amo latet lahem nachla koyim. Hashem wanted to show them His strength in order to show them, I created the whole world and I can give you Eretz Yisrael. She'im yomru umod ha'olam li'Yisrael li'stimatem, she'kavashem arzot shiva koyim. If later on, other nations sounds so prescient, right? talking about our day. You are robbers. You've stolen Eretz Yisrael. You took it from the seven nations. Haim omrim lahem. You can say back. Kol ha'aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire earth belongs to Hashem. Hu bra'a unetana la'asher yashar ve'enav. And he can give it to whoever finds favor in his eyes. Bertzono natna lahem. He gave it to them. Ubertzono natla mehem. And he can also, with his will, take it away from them. Unetana lanu. And give it to us. Rashi's answer is Hashem had to start with the creation so that we could legitimize our taking of the land of Israel from the seven nations. Now, when we read the first Rashi in light of this perek of Yirmiyahu, something amazing appears. In that great opening Rashi, where Rashi is defending our right to have Eretz Yisrael, he's quoting from this perek of Yirmiyahu that says the opposite. Not that we have no right to Eretz Yisrael, but that Hashem created all the lands, and he will give it, says Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Hey, La'asher yashar be'enai, whoever finds favor in my eyes, whoever's right in my eyes, whoever deserves it. How brilliant of Rashi to hide this message in his opening explanation. Eretz Yisrael is not a given. It has to be cultivated and earned. We only get Eretz Yisrael if we deserve it. That's what Yirmiyahu is telling them in this perek. You don't deserve Eretz Yisrael right now. Right now, Hashem is punishing you. The Babylonians are getting it. That's who I'm giving it to with my great strength and my outstretched arm. Yirmiyahu uses the Yetziat Mitzrayim imagery not only to make an impact on the people, to hear their beloved words used against them, but also to remind them that Hashem was able to take us out of Egypt because he runs the whole world. If we want to stay in our land, we must prove ourselves worthy of it. We must become people who are yashar ve'enai. We must become people who are good and righteous in the eyes of Hashem. So just to summarize, what we have here in this perek is a symbolic action. Yirmiyahu is told to put on a yoke and also send a yoke to Tzidkiyahu and five other kings. The yoke symbolizes putting your neck under the oppression and the occupation of Babel. And if you do, then you can save yourselves and save your land. If you don't, then you will be completely destroyed. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishma, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.